A mile or so away through the wood, Arthur Dent was too busily engrossed with what he was doing to hear Ford Prefect approach. What he was doing was rather curious, and this is what it was. On a wide, flat piece of rock, he had scratched out the shape of a large square subdivided into 169 smaller squares, 13 to a side. Furthermore, he had collected together a pile of smallish, flattish stones and scratched the shape of a letter onto each. Sitting morosely round the rock were a couple of the surviving local native men to whom Arthur Dent was trying to introduce the curious concept embodied in these stones. So far, they'd not done well. They had attempted to eat some of them, bury others, and throw the rest of them away. Arthur had finally encouraged one of them to lay a couple of stones on the board he had scratched out, which was not even as far as he'd managed to get the day before. Along with the rapid deterioration in the morale of these creatures, there seemed to be a corresponding deterioration in their actual intelligence. In an attempt to egg them along, Arthur set out a number of letters on the board himself, and then tried to encourage the natives to add some more themselves. It was not going well. Ford watched quietly from beside a nearby tree. "No," said Arthur to one of the natives, who had just shuffled some of the letters round in a fit of abysmal dejection. "Q scores 10, you see, and it's on a triple word score. So, look, I've explained the rules to you. No, no, look, please, put down that jawbone. All right, we'll start again, and try to concentrate this time." Ford leaned his elbow against the tree and his hand against his head. "What are you doing, Arthur?" he asked quietly. Arthur looked up with a start. He suddenly had a feeling that all this might look slightly foolish. All he knew was that it had worked like a dream on him when he was a child. But things were different then, or rather, would be. "I'm trying to teach the cavemen to play Scrabble," he said. "They're not cavemen," said Ford. "Well, they look like cavemen." Ford let it pass. "I see," he said. "It's uphill work," said Arthur wearily. "The only word they know is grunt, and they can't spell it." He sighed and sat back. "What's that supposed to achieve?" asked Ford.
"We've got to encourage them to evolve, to develop," Arthur burst out angrily.
He hoped that the weary sigh and then the anger might do something to counteract the overriding feeling of foolishness from which he was currently suffering. It didn't. He jumped to his feet.
"Can you imagine what a world would be like descended from those cretins we arrived with?" he said.
"Imagine," said Ford, raising his eyebrows. "We don't have to imagine. We've seen it."
"But..." Arthur waved his arms about hopelessly. "We've seen it," said Ford. "There's no escape."
Arthur kicked at a stone.
"Did you tell them what we'd discovered?" he asked.
"Hmm?" said Ford, not really concentrating.
"Norway," said Arthur. "Slati Bartfast's signature in the glacier. Did you tell them?"
"What's the point?" said Ford. "What would it mean to them?"
"Mean?" said Arthur. "Mean? You know perfectly well what it means. It means that this planet is the Earth. It's my home. It's where I was born."
"Was," said Ford.
"All right, will be."
"Yes, in 2 million years' time."
"Why don't you tell them that? Go and say to them, 'Excuse me, I'd just like to point out that in 2 million years' time, I will be born just a few miles from here.' See what they say. They'll chase you up a tree and set fire to it."
Arthur absorbed this unhappily.
"Face it," said Ford. "Those zebes over there are your ancestors, not these poor creatures here."
He went over to where the ape men creatures were rummaging listlessly with the stone letters. He shook his head. "Put the Scrabble away, Arthur," he said. "It won't save the human race, because this lot aren't going to be the human race. The human race is currently sitting round a rock on the other side of this hill, making documentaries about themselves." Arthur winced.
"There must be something we can do," he said.
A terrible sense of desolation thrilled through his body, that he should be here, on the Earth, the Earth which had lost its future in a horrifying, arbitrary catastrophe, and which now seemed set to lose its past as well.
"No," said Ford, "there's nothing we can do.
This doesn't change the history of the Earth, you see. This is the history of the Earth. Like it or leave it, the Golgafrinchans are the people you are descended from. In 2 million years, they get destroyed by the Vogons. History is never altered, you see. It just fits together like a jigsaw. Funny old thing, life, isn't it?